Do you have a uterus, sir? No. So why are you trying to tell other people with uteruses what to do with their bodies?
How do you know? Maybe.
Yeah, how do you know we don't have a uterus?
How have you ever had, have you had a period? Have you had a menstrual cycle?
I have.
Have you ever released an egg from your ovary, felt it pass through your uterus, and then abrupt out of your body? No. So don't fucking tell me with a uterus what to do with my body.
All right, well, you guys heard it here first. Men can have periods, men can get pregnant, and they can have abortions.
They can. Absolutely can. Please keep smiling. Your mothers, I know, wishes you were the abortion.
They love us. They love us, and they hate everything going on
out
here.
Your mom wishes that you were the cum shot that she swallowed.
You have a great day.
Yeah, you guys too.
They're always disgusting. They're always as gross as it can get. I wish that you're the cum shot that your mom wished she swallowed. First of all, most of us, when we think about our mothers, mine being dead, is the memories that I think of my mom do not involve seminal fluid, and they don't involve swallowing it. In fact, if you somehow, when you think of moms, the first thing that comes to your mind is a blowjob, you are up. And that's the state of women in our country today. They don't have dads at home. They're out of control. They are on birth control, so their hormones are out of whack. And all we want is what's best for these ladies. Unfortunately, it looks like we failed this time. And my guests on today's show, we have Aldo Bottazzoni, independent reporter and assistant managing editor for the Next News Network. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive.
Woo! Hello. Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Elijah.
It's always good to not swallow the cum shot, but to get it out right at the camera. The confetti of color. It is better, right, with the 4D graphics. It adds a little bit of element to this show.
I think so. I think you get that depth in the camera that you weren't getting before. So,
are you tired? Because you just got back from DC. You look a little tired.
It was crazy. I feel like I've been on the road for the last couple weeks. Definitely need to catch up on a lot of sleep, but.
But yeah. We had a big story. We met a lot of crazy people. The women are out of control today. They really are.
You know what? I think a lot of them are, but there was a glimmer of hope in the crowd that we saw in DC. A lot of pro-life women that were absolutely beautiful, just glowing pro-life. It was a very stark contrast.
We call those ladies.
Yes, exactly.
Those are the ladies in the room. Speaking of my favorite lady in the room, Taylor Hansen, independent journalist, and also was out for the nextnewsnetwork.com in DC. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive. Oh, that was super. I like you've met Charlie, our diversity coalition member from Down Under. He's down. He puts the down and under. He's Australian. And you seem to take a liking. He likes you too.
Yeah. I mean, we've only known each other for about 10 minutes, but we've really taken a liking.
Birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah, it's true. He's also called the homie with the extra chromie. You just got back. If you want to put the mic a little closer to your mouth there. Yeah, exactly. I do want to say you do also seem a little bit tired. You said you got 1 hour of sleep last night, but you still made it here?
Yes, sir. Of course.
Yeah, well, we got a crazy show. We have a lot of insane stuff, including breaking down that video. And I want to say on that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. I'm your top 17 host or something. I don't know what's going on anymore. But we also have confetti of color. It is really nice. It is a great joke. It never gets old. And like I promise you guys, we're still able to afford the 4D graphics on a big scale. So don't forget,
real
confetti of color. Yeah, I know. And what's really sad, though, is... Well, I'm not going to out her, but our custodian here, I just feel bad because I feel like every time the show's over, less and less of this gets cleaned up at the end. And so it's just kind of like, I think they give up because it really is a lot of confetti and it's all over the keyboard. And, you don't want to make a mess when you're exploding COC, all over your keyboard. It's very gross stuff. Anyway, before we jump into today's show, I'm going to give a huge shout out to our sponsor for today, Patriot Mobile. Now, obviously, free speech, religious liberty, the Second Amendment, all of these things are under attack. You know that. People are selling your data. They're basically giving away even they might even be tracking your messages in Instagram. I heard they're giving those away, and they're going to try to track your text messages. Across the country, your constitutional rights are seriously just under attack every day, and it's only getting worse by the day, which is why I'm proud to support Patriot Mobile. They're not just America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. They're one of the few companies that's actually fighting back. They offer the same nationwide coverage as the major carriers, so you get the same great service, plus the peace of mind that your money is combating the left's attempt to silence you.
Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, and our veteran and first responders. Go to patriotmobile.com/offensive. That's patriotmobile.com/offensive. That's patriotmobile.com/offensive. Or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Get a free activation with offer code offensive. Veterans and first responders save even more. So make the switch today. Got to check it out, Patriot Mobile. So, you know, I got to say this though. There's not a single uterus in the room. So I don't know, like the girl said in the beginning, you don't have a uterus, you're not really able to give an opinion. Just like this. You never been murdered? Don't get to comment on being murdered. Oh, you know, cheating in relationships or those kind of things. You didn't cheat? Don't complain when someone cheats on you. All those things, it doesn't matter because you're only allowed to talk or complain about an issue that matters to you if you've literally been involved in it. And I'm just going to say this. I don't buy your shit. You said that you had a period before. I don't believe you, but let's just clarify this. I will say this. I believe I have a uterus today. Do we believe you have a uterus? I acknowledge my own uterus.
Well, Elijah, it's not just if you don't have a uterus, you don't get to have an opinion. But if you're a white male, that's even worse. I mean, you can't have an opinion. Except, of course, if you're the nine justices that passed Roe v. Wade into the law of the land all those years ago. Now that we have three women, you know, Supreme Court justices, everybody seems to be wanting to oppose the court. They're saying that it's, Nancy Pelosi saying it's an extremist, radical group. To me, that seems a little bit sexist that she's going with the nine justices, the nine white males that made it the law of the land. But now that we have three women, they're saying that it's a radical group. That seems a little sexist to me. What do you think?
It was all men, right? Wasn't it all men with Roe v. Wade? And
it's
Roe
all white,
has a little bit of a
heterosexual men.
And Roe had a little bit of a butch male looking version of herself too. And I think that's where the whole disbelief about the whole accusation of what happened to her, which ended up all being false. We realized that it was all lies. I was like, yeah, I don't think anyone was trying to force anything on you. No offense, but like I've always noticed that the ones that complain about abortion the most are the ones that are the least accessible.
And the ones that live in states that this doesn't even affect, you know? I asked a lot of people when we were in D.C., where are you from and how does this affect, you know, your state's abortion laws? And most of the women that were the most upset about the ruling lived in states that this won't affect. And so I think that this whole debate about Roe v. Wade being overturned, at least in my eyes, isn't even about abortion. It's about state rights. You know, I think that just like in a lot of states where you can't conceal carry and exercise your Second Amendment right, you know, this is the same issue that you can still go get an abortion. You just may have to cross state lines and relocate if that's something that is really valuable to
you. I was about to say, you can't be doing that.
Yeah, you can't be doing that, Kyle Rittenhouse. Can't cross state lines to exercise your constitutional liberties, right?
No, but it's true. And I was somebody that really cared about exercising my Second Amendment right to carry. And so it was a lot more difficult in the state that I came from, but I relocated to Texas because that was valuable to me and I cared a lot about it. And so for the women that feel so strongly about abortion, go ahead and continue to do that, but just maybe move states if you're in a state that's restricting it.
Literally. And you seem, you're getting along so well here with Charlie. It's almost scary.
We have a lot in common.
It's true. Do you know that sometimes he does talk on the show? Charlie, do you like that?
You said, yeah.
That's actually how he talks. And he goes, I don't think. No, wait. Go back to his screen. I think I like him a lot. He's a good guy, and I like him. He's good. So that's why. And we also want to remind you that people have always said, "Oh, why does he make that voice?" First of all, why are you going to be ableist and talk crap on how people talk? I have a weird voice too. Nobody's talking crap on me. I wear it loud and proud. But also, too, we always accidentally. Every time we ask him about stuff, he's always chewing food. So it has nothing to do with the disability. It has to do with the fact that he's eating. Never shame a man for enjoying food, even on camera.
Well, I want to talk about Charlie, right? Charlie, we all love him, right?
We do love him. Right. We love him. He's our favorite character.
But I met a lot of these pro-choice, pro-abortion protesters at the Supreme Court this weekend. And it seems to me that there's this thread, this common theme in pro-abortionists that if you're going to be born into poverty or you're going to be born with disabilities, like our friend Charlie here, they want to exterminate you before you get into life because they feel like that's a common good. Have you seen this kind of theme that
You can't say the word retard, but you can kill him. That's literally that's their motto. It's like, hey man, don't say anything that's ableist. Just execute them in the womb. And then that's what we're fighting for. Literally, like, have you ever seen a liberal just look at someone in a wheelchair being like, man, if only we had gotten you sooner, you know, like if only we had gotten rid of you. It's like the reason why they don't like Nazis, because the Nazis waited too late for them. They literally, these people are like genocidal individuals and they just want this eugenics. It's literally a eugenics program. And obviously this is very sensitive for him. That's why you're holding him. How are you guys doing over there? Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I mean,
they're eugenicists. The liberals are literally eugenicists.
He is really upset about a video he saw from D.C. this weekend of where you actually had a woman that takes care of a bunch of little kids like Charlie, mm-hmm. and she was covered in what appeared to be, you know, fake blood. And she was talking about how she is responsible for taking care of these children. Meanwhile, she is chanting with the pro-death cult crowd that is responsible for killing little sweet men like Charlie.
Yeah, and who was the girl that was on the mainstream media news network? And I'm not making light of this. It's literally a eugenics program. That's what abortion is. It's like they go there, and I saw this one meme that was like, this woman was like, I just never wanted this to happen. I wish you all would have been killed. And then the title said, when a liberal sees like a poor kid in Africa, you know, and realizes they don't have access to abortion there. Literally what they're saying is that it's better that you die than for you to have a disability or for you to be poor. And they're like, hey, you might have been a foster care system, so let's decapitate your little body in the womb and murder you. That way you don't grow up in a foster care system. And I do love the fact that so far everyone's opinions that I've heard about abortion were not aborted. So I have yet to hear an aborted person's opinion. So
that's a common reoccurrence here.
It's a common reoccurrence. They're all alive is the crazy thing. They all got to be born.
Well, that's the thing is, like, when you pose these questions to these pro-abortion protesters, you really get to see their truth thoughts on the sanctity of life. And I talked to a few people that literally told me about, you know, I asked them, you know, is a fetus a fetus or is it a baby? And when does it become a fetus and when is it a baby? And they literally told me that it depends on the mother's intent. That if they want to get rid of it at 9 months, literally a day before it's born, and they just choose to not want it, then that's a fetus. But if they do want it, then it is a baby inside their womb. And so you really get to hear their true thoughts on this. And it's pretty grotesque what they think. You know, that just because you want it or don't, that changes the sanctity of life. That changes the value of what it is.
It's almost like they're playing God or something here.
Yeah, but also too, like, you always notice these girls though, like when the woman was talking to you, I love the idea, no uterus, no opinion. We got to break that down for a second, because like there's very few arguments where you need to have a body part in order to discuss it, right? Like, it's weird that girls don't have a problem telling us to put on condoms. That's weird. You don't have a penis? No opinion. You're not going to say, you know, wrap my willy or whatever. None of that kind of stuff. You don't talk to me about wearing condoms and protected sex. You don't have a dick. And it's like, you can't use that in that situation. Then imagine this. Imagine being like your doctor, where the doctor's like, hey, you know, like, you should probably start taking this medication to lower your blood pressure. It's like, you don't have high blood pressure. I don't want to hear your opinion on this. It's like, well, you don't quite frankly need to directly be involved in a situation to understand how things work. That's what life kind of is about, is we watch the mistakes and we see what people do and we see the cause and effect and we make judgments from them. And that's how you know that it's not a fair or a real or a legal or even an even playing field on the argument of abortion. People just want to have careless sex and they want to murder their children. And it's a population control issue too, but it's like they just want to kill their kids. And I don't know why, but in every civilization in the entire world that's gone totally debauched, that becomes a staple of the civilization. It's like they worship through orgies, they worship through sex, and then they have unwanted kids and they discard the kids. And they also, if their kids have disabilities, they sacrifice them as well. And child sacrifice and baby blood has been a common part of every fallen civilization. And it's only been legal for like what, 60 years. So it's not like our whole country has had this throughout all of history. And now it is sort of halfway illegal. Maybe we have some recovery. Maybe we can actually get ahead in life. And they're like, is this, I saw on Washington Post article that was like, this is the saddest thing. It's like, we might be returning back to a moral Christian society. That's what I saw. I literally said that.
Crazy. That's wild.
I'm crying.
No, but what you just said is so true. It takes two people to have a child. This, we know, I'm pretty sure, you know. But it makes sense that the people that are most pro-abortion have the worst view of men, because it's weak men that are going around, that have no self-control, that are low impulse control and want consequence-free sex, that are going around carelessly and impregnating women. And those women, of course, they wouldn't want to have a kid with somebody like that, right? It's the women that are having sex with careless and weak men that are getting the most abortions and have the worst view of men. And it's the women that I think that are with high value men, that are with men that have self-control, that have a high value on themselves, that are against it because they don't see these careless men. They don't have a bad, I guess, track record or a bad experience with men. So I think the correlation is pretty tied together there.
Well, yeah, and the hypocrisy too. I think we have this video from Alex Stein. Is he Rip Stein? Can we play this video number one real fast? I want to talk about this.
You guys are awesome. I love you. I love you. I love you. This is your sign. Hey, get this. This is what I think about their signs. Oh, so scary. Oh, I'm so scared.
Such a legend.
This is what I think about their signs, guys. This is crap.
This video will be in the history books.
Oh, we're so scared. Primetime 99 is on the ground. These are wimps. Look at this. You see this? You see this? You see this?
Oh! Destruction of property, destruction of property. I will say, as I've always said, that Alex Stein gives social anxiety, social anxiety. He definitely, I don't know what's wrong with him or right with him, but it's something I admire deeply. And I know that he went around and he was in, while he's at New York, I think he's performing, I think it was New York. Is it my right? It was
yeah,
in New York?
Yeah, New York.
Yeah, he's performing a show. And so he's obviously bold, but he went around asking people, do you believe in my body, my choice? And then people were like, oh, yeah, of course. And he says, what about vaccine mandates? And then I love one girl's response. She goes, well, the abortion's a personal health issue and the vaccines are a public health issue. And it's like, ma'am, the killing of unborn infants is a societal, definitely mass health issue. Thus, killing kids in the womb is not really an individual issue. That's like saying murder. Oh, well, just because the murder only took place in your family. So that crime is just a personal issue you deal with. Don't try to make murder illegal for all of us because that's just your grandma got murdered. But don't hold me back. That bitch is crazy. She need to go or something. Like, you can't make those arguments. That's crazy shit.
I mean, the vaccines proved to us pretty easily that abortion was never about bodily autonomy. If you want to choose to, you know, what you want to put in your body, go ahead and do it. But yeah, now these people that are talking about pro, you know, bodily autonomy are flip-flopping pretty quickly. And I talked to one woman that said the same kind of thing, that she was out here protesting for bodily autonomy. And then when posed with a question about vaccines, that was a separate issue for some reason. It was wild. Did you have any conversations with those type of people?
Yeah, well, there was countless conversations with those kind of people. It was, you know, the exact same question that Alex would ask, and it was the exact same. It's like they have a textbook of what they're supposed to say, like their establishment talking points, like what is okay to say and what isn't. And it's always the same thing. And that's my favorite. I mean, just the aspect about this, you know, the pro-death cult side of the argument is their arguments are all disputable by facts, every single one of them. And, you know, my body, my choice, unless it's a vaccine. And then we're going to force it down your throats.
Well, it's the same thing too, right? I heard one woman go, well, it should be a private medical decision. You know, the government shouldn't get involved in this decision. But for some reason, federal vaccine mandates, that shouldn't be private. That should be federally mandated.
Well, I mean, at least with all these things, we're just talking about, you know, killing people. So, I mean, at least both of the topics are like, you know, leading to death.
Abortion, SADS, you know.
Yeah, SADS. Kind of thing. Right. And of course, I don't mean the vaccines causing death, because I feel like we've always referenced this on here. The vaccines.
The most efficient ever.
They were so helpful. You had to literally force people to get them.
Now babies.
Yeah, and babies. And they're four babies, 6 months old. In fact, some people are saying you shouldn't even have a baby. You should abort your baby, raise a vaccine. That's literally it. They're worthwhile. I mean, the truth of the matter is like, that's where we're at. I'll raise six vaccines.
I think Charlie is going to have a lot more companions in these upcoming generations, just to say the least.
I think he's going to have less. I just saw a video yesterday where a woman's even said that she got a diagnosis for her unborn child, which we need to start calling them that. And the kid... they said, oh, your kid has Down syndrome, which I would have said, epic. I'm going to be one of those parents that make my kid a TikTok. I don't know if you saw that meme that was like this person running to the bank. And it was like parents of disabilities when they find TikTok, you know, parents of kids with disabilities, because they love it. They love putting like, they love it, right?
The major bag alert meme.
Bag alert. But I was like, I go, dude, if I have a Down syndrome son, famous. He's going to be my co-host for the rest of my life. It's going to be called like, you know, like, yeah, down, like
getting down with Elijah.
Yeah, getting down. Getting down. And like, and so I'm like, if I had a Down syndrome son, because like I love Down syndrome people so much, like genuinely, we've talked about this on the previous show. It's just they're just honest, they're sincere, and like they're rappers now. They're some of the biggest stars on the internet. And like, if I could have a son and make it famous, then God, I don't want to kill Down syndrome people. I want to give them a job. That's where me and liberals are different. It's just like they see retarded people and they go, why didn't you kill them? I see somebody with a disability and I say, I'd like you to be my co-host.
See, there's nothing more loving in this world than people with Down syndrome.
We love them.
No, the type of people they are, though. They're the happiest people. I mean, yeah, they have their problems. They have their struggles. But I'm convinced. I am convinced that the modern-day superheroes are people with Down syndrome.
Taylor, like, off camera, this entire time, he's off camera, like, cradling it when the camera's not even on him. I'm like, dude, you're the best.
evidence that, yes, the riots have some traumatic issues.
Just
a
little PTSD, no big deal.
Yeah, I was like, it's like, if you ever see a grown man cuddling a Down syndrome doll, there's a chance that he's had some trauma.
Hey, he's real. He's not a doll.
Men?
He identifies as a human being.
Men would literally get a Down syndrome doll shipped from another continent in another hemisphere and cradle it on a show rather than see a therapist for their problems. Like, literally, rather than just be work on their problems, this is what they would go to. These are the lengths men will go to avoid work on their problems. I will say this, though. I did want to show you this. So in LA and some of these places around the country, there was a problem this weekend of people exposing themselves to children, like a lot of nudity. And I don't know if you saw some of the videos. Let's go to play video number two. Okay. I don't think, did you get the other video that I sent, Josiah?
Yeah.
Do we have that in there?
No, we don't.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll just, never mind. I might actually be able to pull that up, though. That might even be able to pull it up. I'm gonna airdrop it to myself for a second, because I want to tell you this. So while we're doing that, I want to tell you guys something. Go to my screen here. This is really important. I'm actually raising money for my own abortion of my food baby, if you guys don't know this. So companies are paying $4,000, up to $4,000 to travel to get an abortion. Number one, let me just tell you this. There's no way you can identify whether I've really had one or not. Number two, you can't tell me I'm not a woman. Number three, I identify with a uterus. This is the world we live in. Plus, this is crazy. They will literally pay you $4,000 to kill your kid rather than just paying you like maternity leave. That's why they want to kill your kid. It's cheaper to kill the kid than to have maternity leave. That's all they're doing. So I went, well, I didn't, Blaze doesn't offer me any packages to travel. It's like illegal now in Texas. And we all can get rid of our food babies. So I would like to abort my food baby. And so I'm pregnant. I'm trying to raise $4,000. This is what I said. Why are we going to let the capitalists have control of how they execute our children? Why don't we have a populist movement? Take it back in our own hands, crowdsource this, specifically my food baby. And so I put my Venmo, my PayPal, my Cash App. And I got to say, you guys really came through. Like, you know, I was really mad for a while. That was like $0 in my Venmo. And then you guys like started like actually, oh wait, how come we can't do this? How do we go into this? Oh, let me go down. Yeah, send like, you see, Jason Marks said, get that a Bobo King, you know, send me $5. People send me like huge money, more money than I get paid in a week. 77 cents.
He's a female dollar.
A dollar. $2, please wait till it's viable to end the clumps of life. You'll never feel more raw power in your life. People said $350 on PayPal. I think I only need about $3,942 left to finally crowdsource my dream, which
so
is
so close.
I'm just trying to emulate the companies like Patagonia, Kroger, right? Target, Tesla. I feel like I got left out. We're a crowdsourced show. I don't have anyone offering to pay for the infanticide of my future generations. I'm not a wasted cum shot, and I'm not gonna waste mine. I'm gonna make sure that we are for the people always, even when it comes to legal murder.
Elijah Schaefer is taking slightly offensive progressive. I love it, brother. Good for you. You're not letting anybody get in your way. You're taking matters into your own hand. I love it. But let's talk about someone else, though, because I do like Elijah's idea. But it's not enough, I don't think, to just be pro-life and to want to limit abortion around the country. Once these kids are born, we have to do more to strengthen the family unit and to incentivize families. Right now that this has been overturned, we have to be giving child tax credits. We have to be giving daycare vouchers. We have to, you know, do more things, you know, systematically to help families with their children once they're born. You know, because I hear a lot of the pro-life argument, the pro-choice, pro-abortion argument that once these kids are born into poverty, you don't care about their lives anymore. And I think that that's actually kind of a valid argument, that it's not enough to just want them to be born. Once they're here on this earth, in this world, we have to give them a good chance at life, and we have to give them funding, and we have to give them resources so that they can excel.
Well, and this shouldn't be a controversial issue on the right either. Is the left is right about this issue, is people need to care more about babies after they're born. We need to be doing child tax credits, everything like you said. And we need to be, instead of funding abortion federally, we need to be funding adoption centers. We need to be pumping as much money into these places as we possibly can, and making sure and regulating the employees that are working there, paying attention to who they are, running accurate background checks to make sure they're not molesting these kids, because that happens quite a lot in foster care, and it's terrible. But we need to be taking care of our unborn, and especially are post-born, or how would the left call it, parasites.
Right.
And I mean, look at this kid.
He's cute. He's a cute
guy.
Well,
I think you know, Gavin Wax. Go find Gavin Wax on Twitter. He's the president of the New York Republican Club. Great guy, and he was talking a lot about these child tax credits and things like this. I think it was $500 a month per child, cost somewhere around $20 billion. Is I think the figure that he said. You know, please correct me in the comments if I'm incorrect. But people say that's too expensive. Listen, we have the money and we have the means to do it. We are just incentivizing wrong things in this country.
But Ukraine,
we're spending $40 billion in Ukraine for a war that we don't even know what's going on over there.
Funded it twice.
Joe Biden was at the G7 summit this last weekend, and he said that America is pledging $200 billion by the year 2027 to build massive facilities overseas to pump out hundreds of millions of vaccines a year, right? That's $200 billion just from the U.S. alone in the next, 5 years for vaccines, when we have a real, when we have real problems in this country right now, right? We have gas at an all-time high. We have mass illegal immigration. We have fentanyl pouring through the southern border. We have baby formula that we can't even get, that we're having to be flown in from Germany and other countries. Like, we're a third world country during a war. And yet we have $200 billion a year to build vaccine facilities overseas and $40 billion a year to fund our proxy war. Where are our priorities, right? And people that are calling for things like I am right now would call me a nationalist, would say that I'm, you know, a white supremacist or something like that. We need to be America first, not because of all these conspiracy things, but because it's we have problems here, right? World War III is here in our backyard now. We have to set our priorities straight, and Joe Biden isn't getting it done.
Well, our society is literally on the utter brink of collapse. I mean, if we can't even protect the most innocent people in our society, mm-hmm. we can't do anything. I mean, what is it even worth? We deserve to have utter collapse and honestly, to be put through the worst conditions that we've ever seen, because right. this is not a country that we or anyone deserves to live in. I mean, America used to be so great, and now we can't even take care of our kids. We can't take care of our veterans. We remotely can't even take care of our own citizens. You got hyperinflation. People can't eat. I think an average of, I think it's once a week, a parent is skipping a meal on average, 60% of parents, so their kid can eat an extra meal. And if I am wrong, correct me in the comments there. But I mean, parents are literally missing meals so their children can eat. We need to be prioritizing the future of America, which is our little homies with extra chromies right here.
If you are a pro-abortion or pro-choice advocate, and you also supported the funding in Ukraine, and you also support what Joe Biden's plan in the G7 summit to send $200 billion to build these facilities, then you're a hypocrite, and you have no place in our society, and you're not a real human being because you don't have your priorities straight, and you're just wrong.
Yeah, it's true. And look at this, though. I mean, the priority check. Can we go and play this? This was taken in Los Angeles at the abortion protest. And I just want to say this. So,
my God,
this was sent to me by Anthony Cabasa. Now, Anthony, looking a little sus here. These are a lot of penises you're filming. a lot of them. They're just all out. And this is all just going to
happen. How is this
blurred.
Legal?
It gets really bad. This isn't the bad part. So you're like,
dear
okay.
Lord.
So this is going on, but keep it on the screen. I mean, this is where we're gonna go. So, yes, the Asian, can't tell if that's a guy or a girl. I don't know if they're all small like that, but this is you go. Okay, well, adults do weird stuff, right? This is strange, but then there's little kids staring at them, like they're staring at the naked people who are exposing. Look at that.
Oh my God.
They're
this is what happens when you advocate for just doing what you want in the privacy of your own home. It leaks out of the home and into our society. And who is the first victim? Children.
Yeah. So, and I also got to say this, there was also the person brought their baby, to the abortion protest. It's kind of a sick thing to bring a child mm-hmm. like that to an abortion protest, let alone any of those things. That is just so gross and so weird. And I do not understand that at all. It is very, 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 very strange. But I do have a video. You were out there, and we have this some of the footage from you out in DC with some of these people who are advocating for this kind of stuff. Let's go ahead and play video 3.
Oh, rape doesn't exist. Condoms don't.
Again,
rape.
You're hiding behind
contraception
the
1%. Doesn't fail. Contraception doesn't fail, ever.
Absolutely.
Never.
Doesn't fail, ever. You're right.
People are going to have sex. People are going to have sex.
Not him,
human biology.
Notice how I'm not yelling.
That's so fucking stupid.
Only sodomy.
Because nobody's talking to you.
clearly people are talking to me.
You enable rape. You've been canceled.
You enable rape. Where'd you pull that one out of?
I have a guess where he pulled it out of. Probably the same thing where he's putting things in.
Did you film that?
I did.
Yeah, because I saw it from your Twitter. What was going on there?
I mean, so you had a... I'm not savvy with his name. What's his name?
Cam Higby. He's out of New York. Great guy. Good conservative figure. He just got his TikTok deleted at 1.5 million followers. Pretty ridiculous. But yeah, Cam Higby was there. He came down from New York to ask some pro-choicers some questions and just give his input. He was harassed the entire time he was there.
Just complete swarm.
You had Antifa that was, you know, ringing noisemakers in his ears the whole time. And he was just asking normal questions, trying to get their viewpoints.
Well, what's crazy is he wasn't being combative at all. He was being very polite to him the entire time. I mean, there was no conflict. He wasn't trying to instigate. He wasn't saying anything rude. He was just providing facts. And all he wanted to do was just talk to these people. And as you see, he's a rape enabler. And there's nothing you can do about it now.
Before we go any further with the podcast, I got to talk to you guys about a great way to diversify your retirement savings with precious metals. Now, you've heard me talk a lot about Birch Gold, which is always a great option. But over the past year, a lot of you guys have reached out to me and you said that you want to buy smaller increments of gold and silver outside of a retirement account, which makes sense because I'm a little more like that too. I like to buy smaller things. I don't like to go big or go home. I just want to give what I can and invest what I can. So today, I'm excited to tell you about Bullion Max. Now, Bullion Max will ship gold and silver in any denomination directly to your door, which is amazing. It allows you to hold it at your home in your own safe so you have control over it, which I love and I feel like is a little more special to what we want as an audience as SOBs. You can also buy direct from Bullion Max's website without talking to a salesperson, which we cut out the middleman, and I absolutely find that to be more efficient because sometimes you just want to invest at 2 a.m. and you really don't want to talk to anyone. And you have fully insured precious metals. Order is shipped directly to your home, so you get it fast, it's easy, and to help you get started, I worked out a special offer with them just for you guys. It's amazing. If you go to get Bullion Max Silver's starter kit at employee pricing, it's going to be amazing. All you're going to do that is go to bullionmax.com/offensive. That's bullionmax.com/offensive. And this kit includes 5 of the most desirable silver products to invest in, including a silver American Eagle and a silver Australian Kangaroo. This offer is limited to just 1 per household, though. You got to know that. So get yours right now before it's too late. Go to bullionmax.com/offensive. That's bullionmax.com/offensive. That's bullionmax.com/offensive. Bullionmax.com/offensive. Check it out and learn how to invest today. I do want to say this is quite funny though. Yeah, with these people, it's like they walk around and I realize that they actually got what they wanted because abortion is now safe, legal, and rare. That's the part, right? It's now rare. You can still kill your kid if you want to kill your kid. You're gonna have to do it in California, or New York, or somewhere else. In Texas, we don't want to kill children. We don't like killing children. We're not into that kind of stuff, and we believe in the sanctity of life. Someone asked me though why. I hold to life being at conception and what's the purpose of that? And I go, well, any society that cannot define when life begins will never be able to respect it at any other point in its existence. Like, if you do not know where life starts, then it doesn't matter how it ends because there's no timeline.
How life ends. So why do we not know how life begins?
But we don't. But that's why we can change it then. Now you can do, you know, euthanasia. You can take your life into your own hands. We start getting more violence. There's more murders. People stop treating each other well. You start devaluing life. When you can't say where life begins, if you don't value life, then you don't value things. If you don't value things, then you don't have a stable society. Then you don't value anything. You don't value laws. And this is why it's so important. When you abandon acknowledging what life is and where it starts, everything else begins to crumble. Because without that starting point, then there is no value in society, which is why we live in such a chaotic world. We don't even know what an American is. We don't know what a woman is, right? We just stop losing our ability to define anything anymore. We don't even know what a border is. Why? It's because I honestly think you can trace it back to we don't even have the basic idea of what a life is. That's why we don't know our genders. That's why we don't know our sexualities. That's why we're all confused because we've abandoned the value and the definition of where life began. And until we can get back to that place, then I don't think we're going to fix ourselves. And I hope God, this is for you. You're here, but please acknowledge the states that are going to do their best to start acknowledging when life begins and to stop killing people. And I hope that our states heal and something happens that's different in our states. I really do. I hope something changes.
Well, I think too, you know, people are blaming this on the religious right and, you know, Christians as a whole. But I think the reason that this happened and a lot of people around the country, even moderates, are turning against Roe v. Wade and abortion as a whole is that it started out as a medical procedure or something that was only done in rare and unique cases. And since then, it's become sort of a form of contraceptive or a form of birth control.
On demand.
Right. It's not a rare occurrence anymore. It's something that has become very common. And so I think that fact alone is what's turning a lot of moderates against abortion, because they don't see it as something that's just being used to save a life. It's not being something that's just used in cases of rape and incest. It's being used way too loosely. And that doesn't help its case.
Way too loosely.
No, it's true. And so
I can imagine a lot of these people that are advocating for this. They're also a little bit way too loosey. But no, with these people, they really, I have 1 hour of sleep going for like 2 days in a row. So
Taylor's dying.
I'm literally dead. The government's trying to kill me. We're having a great time. But these people, they have no limits. And it's just like with our work of the drag queens, child drag queen shows, is they openly admit what they're trying to do. And with these people, they admit, we define when life begins. Yeah, it's not a child unless we say it's a child and we actually want to keep it. I mean, and how far do we have to go until we get pushback? And I think we're finally at that point, because people are starting to understand that this is a death cult. This has nothing to do with preserving life or saving, women or preventing rape, which equates to 0.4% of the abortions actually done. I mean, it's a very, very small percentage. I mean, this is what they always argue, too, is it's the under the 1%. That's what they base their whole argument off of, because they know their actual arguments have no basis and that no one will agree with them on this, at least anyone with a soul.
Yeah.
Well, and what they're mad about is this. If you let me go to right here. So there was a decision. I don't know if you know this. Not only did we overturn the restrictions on personal firearm carrying in New York, then we had this abortion overturning Roe v. Wade in this other case. We also have this. The Supreme Court rules for former coach in public school prayer case. Former coach Joseph Kennedy argued that Bremerton School District in Washington State violated his religious freedom by telling him he couldn't pray on the field after games. And in a 6-3 decision, I believe as well, it turned out that they said he could pray on a field. It's crazy that this is what I'm saying by the backwardness of the country. Like, I think it's the time we start fighting back, where it's going, I can't pray on a field. And of course, people always come in on this stuff and they immediately start saying these types of things where they're like, SCOTUS, Thomas and Gorsuch can't wait for the Church of Satan to do a live goat offering at the 50-yard line following a Pop Warner game. How stupid is a Supreme Court? This idea in the country where like abortion is equal to contraceptive, or like a person praying to the Christian God, the only one and true God, on a field to encourage people is the same as the Dark Lords sacrificing a goat. Like, well, it's freedom. All religions are equal. No, they're not all equal. There's a lot of really, really, really bad religions out there. And also, the Church of Satan isn't even a real religion. It's just a narcissistic approach to life. And so these people are not even, they're just living in this narcissism. And why would you want to pull people into a live lifestyle where all you do, you're a nihilist? That's not positive. We don't want to be giving that kind of example to our kids. It is good that he's praying. It's like, well, why don't we have a Muslim praying on the line? Well, first of all, that's not even their religion. They don't lay mats and pray on the line in the middle of halftime. They have certain times they pray, but also because we're not a Muslim nation. And that's the problem. We don't want to be a Muslim nation. That's not what we were defined as. We were a moral people. That's an Eastern religion. We don't mix with that. And it's like, oh, so you hate Muslims? No, there's plenty of, I'd go visit Muslim countries. There's plenty of beautiful countries out there. Even Iran. I mean, it looks beautiful. I'd love to go one day. But at the same time, we have to define what our country is. Where do we value life? What kind of faith do we have? Why are we condemning people for praying to the one true God? Why are we telling women that their child is a clump of cells, and that, this is that we have to kill your baby, as if you can't just stop having sex with random people and getting pregnant, which, by the way, isn't that easy to do. It's not that easy to get pregnant. I don't know why. How is this many people just accidentally getting pregnant?
It's like they've never heard of contraception before. I mean, it's insane to me. For all these people, I mean, they're all on birth control because their hormones are completely out of whack. I mean, so they're in reality, these people that are advocating so heavily for abortions probably actually aren't even getting a bunch of abortions. They just have their hormones so hopped up because of all this juice that they have in them. And I mean, they literally are not sane. They're not here. They're not grounded here on Earth. They just want to kill babies.
To your point, Elijah, the only thing that offends the tolerant left is Christian values. Mm-hmm. And I think finally Christians have had enough, and they're slowly waking up to this, and they're not going to be run over anymore and used as a doormat to run over their values and their way of life. Because they see what the left does. They see what they want to do and what they want to implement. And they see the results in democratic cities. And so I think the silent majority is becoming a little less silent. And I hope we keep up the momentum, because I think it's going to be a rude awakening come the midterm elections. And I think we're going to see a lot more progress.
Well, and people are sitting there. Look at Ashley. He's like, oh, I was the kind of high schooler where I'd be like, okay, let's get the churches sitting out there praying after every game too. Let's organize non-Christian churches and go to town. I had to deal with this, and this ruling came out. It's. I don't understand why people want this. Like, why do you want to kill your kids? Why do you want the churches sitting around? Why don't you want? Do you have any idea of what's good and what's evil? Do you have any idea of what our country could be? What it was meant to be—a moral and religious people. And myself. I'm not the most moral person, and I grew up in smut, and my brain, I don't even realize how broken I am until like I realize, like, I don't know if anyone can relate on this. Like, sometimes I don't even feel like remorse. Like, I'll sin or do something wrong, and I don't even register in my head that I did something wrong. And I'll read it in the Bible and I'll be like, that was wrong. And I don't even like feel like it was wrong. And then this is where I was reading the other day, John 6:43 said something important. This is like one of the only commands that Jesus literally said while he was here on earth, like a very important one that he said. He said, do not complain about the things that I say. And I think that in our country, it's like God has set up a certain idea for us. And I read stuff and I'll be like, damn, I did not, like, why is that wrong? Or like, I do have questions, or like, how come I'm like this? And then that's like that. And everyone's got those issues, right? In their mind. But God was clear, like, don't complain about what I say, because I designed the world, I made the world, I know how it should work. So I'm going to tell you how it should work. Now, you're going to struggle in your own ways when you don't rely on me, when you live in your flesh, as we all often do, and many times when you give into your flesh, you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption, and then that corruption can breed a hardness of heart, and the hardness of heart can lead you to a lifestyle of sin, and then you can end up just feeling empty inside, which is the point of where our nation's at. But at the same time, it's like, that's where I think we got to get back to, is like, let's stop complaining about what God said and let's find out what he said. And let's start with basic things. Like, how about like not killing each other? That's a really basic law. Like, we don't even need to get anything crazy out there, but like, let's not murder one another.
Basic human decency.
Exactly. That's a very basic God tenet. I think we can get back to, is like, let's not murder one another.
And then let's implement those values into real life, into law, and make it legislation. Like, go back to that tweet if you can real quick. This is what Christians, I think, are waking up to. You know, I used to hear it a lot more, but I still hear it, is that, well, I'm a Christian and I believe such and such, but I don't want to impose my values on others. You tell me that this isn't imposing their values on us. And they are, and they're coming for us. And they don't care if we're Christian. They don't care about our values. They care about what they believe in, and they will run us over with it, with legislation, with laws, in institutions, in colleges. Anything they can to run over Christians and make us hurt, they will do. And I think Christians are finally waking up to it, is that the side that wants to win will always beat the side that wants to be left alone. And that's what has been happening to us
over the last 50 years. Far too long.
And we're the party of no, and we're not the party of offense. And I think that's going to change real quick in a very big way.
No, I think the conservative party needs to rebrand, because they haven't conserved anything. And now that we're on the offensive, I mean, rename the damn party, rename something. And we need to be, like you said, drilling legislation down these people's throats. I mean, there's no other way. This is exactly how they've treated us. I mean, they call us terrorists. They call us all of these terrible things, and they literally speak this to life. This is who we are viewed as human beings. So why don't we do it to them, but through a godly manner? Why don't we institute, I mean, like basic common knowledge here. Sorry, I can't talk today. But taking care of children. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is just protecting children. And being a basic human being, we can legislate those things here in America.
Well, it's not even like doing it to them. You know, I make the analogy that, you know, the difference, the opposite of tolerance is not intolerance. It's conviction. It's belief in one thing. And, you know, both sides have this, right? The left has conviction on their beliefs and the right has conviction on their beliefs. And I see politics as a game, as a competition, is that we will go to battle on the political, you know, war. And at the end of the day, right, I can go to war with you politically, but then I can hang up my swords and I can put my tools of war away, and we can go out as people that live next to each other, as neighbors, and go get a beer and, you know, come together on other things that we do agree on. But I think that this whole notion of that, if I disagree with you politically, I can't be friends with you and you have to be my enemy and I have to hate you. I think that that's so wrong, right? It's war. This is what politics is. It's an us and a them. And we have to fight for what we believe in, but me being against what you believe in doesn't mean I have to hate you with all my heart. It just means that I have conviction based on my values and my beliefs that was heavily influenced with how I grew up and my family life. And I can't hate you for the way that you grew up, because a lot of people are just symptoms of their environment and that's how they were raised. But I'll be damned if I'm not going to fight to my death to implement what I believe in on the battlefield of politics.
I mean, you probably remember, I mean, when we got back on the third day, you know, how flustered I was, how angry I was. And it was, you know, I was projecting and saying I'm angry at these people for what they're doing, but I was actually angry at myself because I didn't have that self-control that I needed. Like, you know, you need to love everyone. These people, yeah, they might be possessed by demons, but it's the way they're raised. It's what they're exposed to at a young age. And it's a common reoccurrence here. You know, in that interview that I had with the Jesus Saves guy, you know, I think I've watched that about 30 times. That interview has changed my life. The way that he addresses it and he says, you know, I don't agree with these people. These people are wrong, but I love them.
Right. 100%. I don't hate any of these. I don't hate them. The only thing hate serves to do is to corrode your heart, to make you vengeful, to make you spiteful. It's a disgusting thing. I don't hate any of these people, truly.
And you can feel it.
Well, and you know this is bad, too, when we're agreeing with the literal Church of Satan. John Cooper was like, who I found out I'm blocked by him, so I had to go to a private browser here. Don't look at my transsexual porn. Remember that happened with Alex Jones? That was so sad when his tab was open and it was like, hey, this tranny porn.
Oh, did that happen? I didn't even see
it. Yeah, but I don't know if it was a joke or what the point was, but that was the funniest thing ever because it like made me like Alex Jones even more. And like, I know it shouldn't, but just like, this guy is so unpredictable and crazy that I'm just like, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know. He could have literally had it on because he was showing somebody something.
Let me cover, you know, little guy's ears.
Definitely wasn't looking at it, but I thought
this is what I don't watch, yeah, you guys. Hey, this is what I do not watch.
Hey. I only have it bookmarked in 97 tabs, yeah, but I promise I don't watch it.
Yeah, sir, this is your home screen. No, but John Cooper was like, congratulations, Republicans. You just made it legal for a teacher to lead their class in prayer from the Church of Satan. That's always what they want. They tell you they're from the devil because they are. And then someone wrote their, you know, screenshot their post. Satanism does not condone the indoctrination of children. So it's like, it is so sad when you're less moral than the Church of Satan. You've got a problem.
It's impressive.
And I also want to say this. People don't know this. I have a long-standing relationship with the Church of Satan. Maybe this is, no, this is not a joke.
Oh my gosh.
I have a very long-standing relationship. Now, me and the Church of Satan have gone and spoken quite a few times, the representatives, on a myriad of issues, to the point to where they'll regularly just comment on my stuff and weigh in on my opinions. And I've gone back and forth with Church of Satan many times over the years, and we've had episodes where I've talked to the devil worshipers. And it's been a very interesting time.
Like, tell me you're from LA without telling me, yeah, you're from LA. I talk to these guys all the time.
No, it's true. It's true. It's true. Because when, and this is more like the Leviathan, like the idea of being set apart in terms of for your humanity and your flesh. These aren't really people who are necessarily sacrificing goats that I know of publicly. But it is interesting because I used to go and I would minister and like share truth with the people in witchcraft stores. It's just something I used to do in LA, go to New Age stores, and I would make agreements with them if they could. They were allowed to share with me their side of things, but I'd have to share with them my side of things. And one of the things was crazy. Like, this woman, I had this one experience where
she was a woman.
Well, yeah, no, but she was tarot card reading, and she was there was a mermaid cards, and she was basically trying to help me understand my numerology and the future. And then she was like, "Oh, I have this like this shadow figure or whatever." And I felt like filled with God for a moment. And I was like, I actually have a bigger figure. I go, mine's an angel of light. And she got like freaked out. And she was like, how powerful is it? I go, it's the most powerful form of any one of the figures that you could imagine. I go, and I even told her, because I believe in demons and I believe darkness is real. And I would like talk to these people in these places. I never tell them I'm a Christian or anything like that, but I would use like the spirit and like, I would use God and those kind of phrases and be like, yeah, but I follow a spirit that's more powerful. And it was crazy when you actually like brought it into the terms of like, rather than just being like, I'm a Christian or this or that, like I'd be like, I follow a spirit that is stronger than everything in the room, everything you can call upon. I have a light worker, something that brings light and it destroys all darkness.
They can sense that presence.
Right. And she'd be like, wow, she'd always tell me, you have so much energy and you're so like, and I believe her too. Like, she'd be like, pick it up. She'd be like, there's such a confidence. Your angel that follows you is so powerful. I can tell and stuff like that. And I just want to remind people, it's like, this is a spiritual battle. If you're a little bit, I am too. I'm a lot.
Everyone is.
So I'm not here to like, I'm not saying you got to be perfect or whatnot, but no, somebody's perfect. No, Charlie's perfect.
Only
no,
one's perfect is
Charlie. But what I'm saying is like, it doesn't, your lack or your ability to show the light of God or your own insecurities or your own failures does not change how powerful God is. And it does not change the fact that you don't want to partner with darkness, and you got to realize who's on your side and that you have the God of angels armies by your side, that he goes before you. He's an angel of light. And where there is light, there's no darkness at all, because
Darkness is just the absence of light. So stop having a pity party, thinking about all the mistakes you've made, all the sins that you've done, because you can never be good. You can never be used by God because you're a terrible person. Guess what? Paul was a terrible person. I'm a terrible person. Every human being that exists is born into corruption, and you are technically a terrible person. This is why God has something called redemption. He literally redeems you out of darkness, and he returns the life to you that the enemy meant for evil. He turns it for your good. And so just like these people, they acknowledge that it's a spiritual battle. How do they want to combat someone praying in the field? By bringing Satan worshipers in to combat. Unfortunately, they know where their power comes from. They know who their Lord is. They know the God they serve, and that's how they wage their battles. But if you believe in God, stop waging your battle like you're a Satanist, like you're a narcissist, like a nihilist, and you're letting your flesh determine. You have God on your side. God spoke through a donkey. God has used a jawbone to wipe out the Philistines. He has used a walk around a wall to destroy the greatest wall in history. He doesn't need you. He wants to use you, and he can use you no matter where you're at in your life or what's going on. And without holiness, you will not see the Lord. But today it says, therefore, acknowledge the Lord, right? Repent. And it talks to give your heart to God. And I just want to remind people that God is more powerful than these people. And we win in the end. We do win in the end. Through judgment, through blood, it does come. But right now is a day of redemption. And don't let your past haunt you. Don't let your past mistakes keep you from just choosing God today. And I just want to remind people of that, because like even Church of Satan is like, knows its boundaries, because they don't want to indoctrinate kids, because that's when God says if you stumble a young one, it better is a millstone tied around your neck. You start going in the kids. The Church of Satan says, I'll mess up adults, but I know where my boundaries are, because then God's going to wipe us out, right? I mean, it's just true. I'm just saying, I want to remind people, God is on our side, and these people have no power over us.
No, Elijah, that was so beautiful, but everything you said was absolutely correct, mm-hmm. is that God doesn't need us, but he wants to use us, and we need to be conduits for God's word. If we're not, you know, all the knowledge in the world, you could read your Bible every day, but if you're not going into the world and using that for good, then it's worthless. And, you know, Taylor and I, we had a conversation about this after we were in the front of the Supreme Court all weekend, is that I see a lot of these, some of these pro-life people that go out and they get so angry and they get mad and they all almost attack the pro-abortion people. But the fact of the matter is nobody is too far gone to be saved. And I mean that nobody is too far gone to be saved. There may be people in this world that you look at and you're like, that person will never be redeemed. They will never know God. But how can you believe that if you know the greatness of God, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody has a chance to be saved by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so you're exactly right. You know, I see a lot of these Christians that are doomers and that yell at these people, and they get angry at the people that haven't accepted them yet for whatever reason. And it's sad to see, because who else but Christians are going to turn these people's hearts? Who else but Christians are going to lead the light into the darkness? There's nobody. And you know, God does want to use us to be a conduit for his word, but we need to be confident, and we need to realize that nobody is too far gone. Everybody is worthy and deserving of redemption, but we need to be his soldiers on the spiritual battlefield. We can't be blackpilled.
He doesn't need us, but we need him.
Yeah, 100%.
I was going to look this up real fast. I think I literally love this... Yeah. Okay. So if you guys don't know, so in Old English, they used to call donkeys an ass, right? And that's just what they used to. And I think that's quite funny. And if you think, if you're upset with profanity, well, I'm going to let you know, don't bleep this part just out, because this is from the Bible. This verse has been the greatest encouragement to me, because really it's like, man, if you think, you know, I am a sinner. I make mistakes, sometimes intentionally. And I could walk around every day and be like, oh man, I can't, you know, talk about my faith because I'm a sinner. It's like, no, I tell people I need God. Like, I need the Bible, because if I didn't have it, I would be dead. Okay. That's just the truth. And I love this verse, because I know this is about a donkey, but I feel like this is about me. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass and said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee? But thou hast smitten me these three times. So God literally could use an ass to speak. If you feel like you're a bit of an ass, God's done it before. He could do it again. Don't worry about it. And I just mean that, like, God literally used an animal. And I think my dog literally ate his poop the other day. It was weird, you know? And I also saw a podcast where a woman eats her boyfriend's poop.
Whatever you're into.
Okay. Yeah. But I was going to say, but on the side note, it's just like the excuses of like, how can we be used? God's not waiting for you. You need to stop waiting for yourself. Go out and realize, take a hold of the blessings that are out there. Go out and start being used by God. And even if you're
you're not, guess what? Even if you're not even a Christian, there was plenty of kings and people that were used by God that at least submitted to God. Were like, I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to do this, but I will obey and be used to fight the darkness because I don't want to be on the wrong side of this. So partner with light. Don't be on the dark side because you're not going to win. That's all I'm going to say. It's like, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, I always say, you know, Christians are our biggest, are our own worst enemies in that a lot of the times we don't do exactly what you're saying is use the word for good. And we get way too blackpilled. I see this sometimes with the religious.
That too.
I see that. No, I think everyone is guilty of doing this from time to time, but we have to be reminded to stay away from that. But I see this a lot too with the pride parades and the gay argument. Christians get so mad and they just hurl hateful things at these homosexuals or whatever they are. And they're right in that these people, a lot of these people that are exposing themselves to kids are wrong and are doing disgusting things. But I don't hear these people publicly pray for them, right? We need to pray for the redemption of these evil people. They're doing wrong and we need to fight it legislatively, implement laws, arrest them in the streets if they're indecent exposure to children. But also we need to pray for these people because they are deeply broken inside. So I just want to remind people of that, right? Pray for your enemies, period.
Well, pray for those who persecute you.
I will say one thing for the audience is, Elijah, Aldo, and Josiah these past few months have brought me closer to God than I have ever been. And, you know, I'm a little bit low on sleep, but it wants to, I mean, my body's telling me to cry right now because the spiel that you guys just gave, I mean, it's very real. As you can feel the spirit, you know, we need to be praying for these people. These people are damaged and the only people that's going to be able to help them is us.
It's true. And I only speak that from the truth, man, is like, I think I might do a podcast called Messy Christianity. I might. I'm actually going on Mark Driscoll's podcast coming up in and that's what I think we're going to talk a little bit about, but I think I want to talk about that, like the idea of just because you have a hard time following the truth, you know, or you're just stubborn. It doesn't have to be because it's hard. It could be obstinate, but like just because you deviate on the journey doesn't mean that you don't know what the end goal is and you give up on the end goal. It would be like never trying to be healthy because every time you lose weight, you gain it back. It's like, well, still try, like try again. That's what I always think. It's like, Right. Okay, you got unhealthy again. Well, just go re-lose it and try to make it stick. And then sometimes it sticks for a long time and you gain it back. And that can be like faith sometimes, is that your faith is real, but the practice and the expression of it can be off because the flesh is very real. And it's not always like overt, just like obstinate transgression. Sometimes it's just simply laziness. Sometimes it's the inability, also the refusal to let God help you, to admit your weakness. That's the hard part. It's like when we are weak, he says we are strong. And so it's like people don't want to admit they're weak because we're always faking it to everyone like we're stronger than we really are. It's a survival mode. It's a mechanism. It's biological. It's psychological. God designed us that way, especially as men. We don't want to be little bitches, you know? And so it's like, it's true. So you want to be strong and you want to be mighty, but at the same time, that's with God. God is where you should be vulnerable. That is where you should be in the place to where you say, God, I don't have the power in and of myself. I am powerless against my demons. I am powerless against my addictions. I am powerless against my own flesh. And you tell God that I need your power. I need supernatural power. Because if you feel like you can't do your spiritual battle and you feel like you're losing all the time, and it's because, yeah, you're fighting yourself with yourself. It's like a civil war, and a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so you're fighting your own battles. You're like, why do I feel like I can't change? I can't change. I can't change. Well, it's because you don't have the power in and of yourself to change. This is where AA or different even other groups have those kind of ideas and prayers about, I don't have the power to change. But God does have the power, and we don't live in just a natural world. We live in a supernatural world, and God can use you, and you can be the conduit. You can be the vessel, not only to conquer your own issues, but even while you still have them, to show that God is powerful and strong and that you don't have to be perfect, because God is the perfection that you rely on and that he's the person. Don't disregard holiness altogether, but at the same time saying, I'm not preaching my holiness. I'm preaching God's holiness. And the only reason why I also want to be holy as he is holy is so that I can see God. Like he said, he can't see him without, you know, giving those things up. But it's just like, it's just one of these things we can't give up anymore. We got to be honest. I've seen a lot of people turn to God recently. And if you haven't turned to God yet, you got to get there.
It's worth it.
Yeah. You got
to
get there.
Well, here's the thing is, like, none of us will ever be perfect, but all of us have to pursue perfection. And just because you fall or, stumble on your journey towards that perfection doesn't mean that the pursuit itself wasn't worthy and wasn't important. And I think that's exactly what we all need to do, is continue to pursue perfection, even though we know we're never going to reach it, because that pursuit is what makes us better people every day.
That's right. That's right. To my guest, Aldo Battazzoni, Italian superhero, and also, a little bit there. I know. You know, we have a great. I was really glad because we had the extra seat for my little sister sending her off to Australia. I can't believe she's with an Australian. How did that happen? But we're sending her off.
Schaefer's.
And I was thinking about this because nobody. We were talking about this earlier. Nobody really appreciates like good bottles of wine. I bought some really nice ones, and I was like, who can I invite? We had one place sitting. I go, that would actually appreciate quality wine. It's not going to just like gulp it. And I go, Aldo. And I asked Kelly Grayson because she usually doesn't like people. She's like, yes, bring Aldo to the dinner. So now he's coming to the send off dinner to my little sister. But we also got some, we got some Stag's Leap Artemis, a good vintage bottle too. So we're doing good.
Oh, I'm excited.
I know. We got a few others too, but that's a good bottle. By the way, if you ever want a good bottle of wine that's consistent, that's not going to break the bank, but might break your bank depending on how much you make, is Stag's Leap Artemis. It's amazing. Napa stuff. Anyway, where can people find you and follow you, wine connoisseur?
You can find me on Twitter, just at my name, Aldo Bottazzoni. That's where I do my reporting and post some of my important political stuff. And if you want to follow my life, my personal life, follow me on Instagram. Same thing, Aldo Bottazzoni.
Taylor, on a day where you have more energy.
Yes.
Where can people find you? Where can people follow you?
So tomorrow I will be more energized. Don't follow me today because I don't deserve it. But tomorrow I'll have some more energy. But you guys
where
can
are you
follow
gonna be tomorrow?
Me at Taylor USA. I'm going to be in the church.
Oh.
Hopefully.
Really?
Hopefully. I mean, the mental church. That's what I'm looking for.
You should go on News and Why with me.
I'll go on anything.
Oh, Sarah.
But you guys can follow me at Taylor USA on Twitter, all other social medias. And also if you want to follow... You know, my shit posts, my memes, Instagram is a place to do it. That's USA Taylor backwards because I'm banned because the internet hates me. Everyone hates me except you guys. I love you. And Elijah, everyone.
I do want to say this.
I need an energy drink.
YouTube sent me an email that was like, fellow creators want us to check up on you because they think you might kill yourself. And I'm not planning on killing myself. I made one post about Hillary Clinton today, but I'm stopping. I will just leave it there. I was going to laugh, though, because I just thought of something so crazy. Some people had like, of that entire episode, nobody's written anything. All my haters, nobody's written me anything. Been like, hey, I'm sorry that people wanted to murder you. Instead, they just look for like jokes they find off. And I realized my haters that didn't care about all of the death threats towards me, but cared about other things in that video, literally partner with the people that want me to die, and they want mm-hmm. people to kill me. And now I realize those are murderers out there. That's why they want to kill babies, and they want me to die too. It's not a joke. And so that's my new thing. My haters want to see me murdered, and I'm going to oppose all murderers in this world, including those that kill children. Anyway, thank you so much again for watching another episode of Slightly Offensive. It literally is the best worst show on Blaze TV. Don't forget to stick around for this Friday show. We got Grant Cardone, who's coming on the show. I don't know how we got him on the show, but he's a billionaire, and he's, I guess Josiah's got it covered. Make sure to follow us on all social media, wherever you can find it, and sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah to fight censorship. I don't think we have any reviews today, no? Don't forget to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, anywhere where you can leave them. We are an audio-only podcast. We are growing a lot on there, and we'll read your reviews on the next podcast. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.